भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। इत्येतत् पुण्यमाख्यानम् अम्बरीशस्य भूपते संकीर्त्यन् अनुध्यायन् भक्तो भगवतो भवेत्। इत्येतत् पुण्यमाख्यानम् अम्बरीशस्य भूपते संकीर्तयन्ननुध्यायन् भक्तो भगवतो भवेत्। इत्येतत् पुण्यमाख्यानम् अम्बरीशस्य भूपते संकीर्तयन्ननुध्यायन् भक्तो भगवतो भवेत्। हरीशस्य भूपते माताजी भक्तो भगवतो भवेत्। व्हाट वर्ड मीनिंग इति दस एतत् दिस पुण्यमाख्यानम् मोस्ट पायस एक्टिविटी इन हिस्टरी अंबरीशस्य ऑफ महाराज अंबरीश भूपते ओ किंग महाराज परीक्षित संकीर्तयन बाय चैंटिंग रिपीटिंग अनुध्यायन और बाय मेडिटेटिंग अपॉन भक्तः ए डिवोटी भगवतः ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड भवेत् वन कैन बिकम। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन एनीवन हु चैंट्स दिस नरेशन or even thinks of this narration about the activities of Maharaj Ambarish certainly becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur herein gives a very good example. When one is very eager for more and more money, he is not satisfied even when he is a millionaire or a multi-millionaire, but wants to earn more and more money by any means. The same mentality is present in a devotee. The devotee is never satisfied, thinking, "This is the limit of my devotional service." The more he engages in the service of the Lord, the more service he wants to give. This is the position of a devotee. Maharaj Ambarish, in his family life, was certainly a pure devotee, complete in every respect, because his mind and all his senses were engaged in devotional service. Savai Manah Krishna Padaravindayor Vachamsi Vaikuntha Gunanu Varnane. Maharaj Ambarish was self-satisfied because all of his senses were engaged in devotional service. Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam Satparatvena Nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhaktirichyate. Nonetheless, although Maharaj Ambarish had engaged all his senses in devotional service, he left his home and went to the forest to concentrate his mind fully at the lotus feet of Krishna, exactly as a mercantile man, even though complete in wealth, tries to earn more and more. This mentality of getting more and more engaged in devotional service puts one in the most exalted position. Whereas on the karma platform, the mercantile man who wants more and more money becomes increasingly bound and entangled. The devotee becomes increasingly liberated. Omajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakhaya Chakshuh unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Shri chaitanya mano bhishtam stapitam yena bhutale Swayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham shri guroh shri yuta padakamalam Shri gurun vaishnavamscha Shri rupam sagrajatam Sahagana ragunadhanvitam tam sajivam Sadvaitam savadhutam parijana sahitam Krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna padan Sahagana lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama om Vishnupadaya Krishna prasthaya bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvise Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jayasri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Before I begin, I seek the blessings of Holiness Bhaktivedanta Bhagavat Maharaj, His Brajhari Prabhu, His Asim Krishna Prabhu and all the Vaishnavas assembled here, so that I can speak something for my own purification. So this shloka, 9527, we are almost coming to the conclusion of the pastime of Maharaj Ambarish and Durvasa. 27 and the 28 is the last verse of this particular chapter, and the next pastime begins of Saubari Muni. So in this particular shloka, which we just recited. This is the this verse is the Phalashruti of the whole pastime of what happens to any devotee by narrating this pastime or hearing this pastime or thinking of this pastime. So if you see the translation here, it is mentioned, anyone who chants this narration, iti etat punyam akhyanam ambarishasya bhupate. O King Parikshit, anyone sankirtayan anudhyayan, either somebody recites this pastime or anudhyayan, or by even thinking of this narration of Ambarishasya, of Maharaj Ambarish, what is the result that a devotee attains? That bhakto bhagavato bhavet, that he certainly becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. So this is the result of hearing the narration of hearing the narration of Maharaj Ambarish. So this principle is repeatedly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. By thinking, by meditating or contemplating on the activities of the Lord, activities or Nama Rupa Guna Leela of the Lord or the devotees of the Lord, bhakti within the heart is aroused. Devotion to the Lord is aroused within the heart of the hearer. So we find in the 10th canto, after Shukadeva Goswami describes the whole pastime of Krishna dancing with the gopis, he concludes the pastime with a very similar shloka. Vikriditam vrajavadu bhiridam cha Vishno shraddhanvito anushrunuyadatha varnayedya bhaktim param bhagavatim pratilabhya kamam hridrogamashvapahinoti achirena dhiraha. So he says the same thing. Vikriditam vrajavadu bhiridam cha Vishno shraddhanvito anushrunuyad atha varnayedyaha. If somebody hears the pastime, or if somebody does varnan of the pastime, then the result that such a person gets is bhaktim param bhagavatim pratilabhya kamam, that bhakti for the Supreme Lord is aroused within the heart, as it is mentioned here, bhakto bhagavato bhavet. So how does this principle work? How does this phenomena work? It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam about the principle of absorption. Whatever object we contemplate upon, whatever aspect or an object or a person we meditate upon or contemplate upon, the attributes of that are imbibed within the contemplator. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam 11.9.22. Yatra yatra manodehi dharaye sakalam dhiyat snehadveshad bhayatvapi yati tat tat svarupatam. It's explained by Avadhuta Brahmana in that section of the 24 gurus. This shloka comes. Avanti Brahmana. Yatra yatra mano dehi dharayet sakalam dhiyat. Dhiyat is our intelligence. Dharayet sakalam dhiyat is, we hold a particular object very firmly using our intelligence. Which means, we meditate upon a particular object. We contemplate upon a particular object. So, what happens by such contemplation? Yatra yatra mano dehi dharayet sakalam dhiyat. When we do dharan of a particular object within our mind or intelligence, within our subtle body, snehat dveshat bhayat vapi, using through any method, either through sneha, you know, very favorably, through friendship, snehat dveshat, either through, you know, animosity, or snehat dveshat bhayat vapi, even through fear, by any means, if somebody holds a particular object in their mind, which means they are completely absorbed in a particular thing, yati tattat svarupatam, that particular svarupa they eventually attain.
In the next shloka of this 11th canto, 11.9.23, the example of a vast is described. Once, a vast, in the course of its hunting for its prey, for its food, it once captured a small insect. And that small insect it kept in its whichever hole that wasp was living. And repeatedly, the wasp would come there and it would sting that insect and go back and do its other activities and come back after some time and sting that insect. So this insect was deeply in fear of the wasp, because as soon as the wasp comes, it's going to sting. So the mind of this insect was absolutely absorbed in the thoughts of the wasp. And as far as its subtle body is concerned, the subtle body is deeply absorbed in that wasp. So its subtle body transformed very much like the wasp immediately, and Bhagavatam in that purport it is explained that eventually it got the body of the wasp in its subsequent life. So the principle that is explained in this shloka of the 11th canto is, whatever is the object of our meditation, we eventually become like that. Whatever is the object or whatever aspect we are meditating upon, because our subtle body is strongly desiring that particular thing, eventually the Lord will make an arrangement that we will attain that, or we will attain that state of consciousness, or we will attain that state of even physical body also. So even researchers in the material world, they also say that if anybody focuses their mind on a particular person, like people have role models in their life, probably a cricket star, probably a film star or somebody, and they keep them as their object of meditation. Sometimes in some hostel rooms, some boys keep a big cutout of a cricket star or a Bollywood star, and then they are time and again thinking of that person, remembering that person. And we will eventually see their mannerisms, their the way they speak, the way they conduct themselves, the way they act. It is flavored by that personality's personality traits. So by absorption, a kind of the imbibing that person's traits takes place. So, and that is why it is mentioned here that if somebody chants the narration of Maharaj Ambarish, or even thinks of this narration about the activities of Maharaj Ambarish, certainly he becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. Because what is the quality of Maharaj Ambarish? Maharaj Ambarish is a pure devotee of the Lord. Maharaj Ambarish is a very, very exalted devotee of the Lord, who is the emblem of Atmanivedanam. Actually, not only Atmanivedanam, who is the emblem of all the nine aspects of devotion service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnusmaranam, and so on and so forth. All the nine aspects of devotion service, Maharaj Ambarish has perfected them. So, if such a pure devotee, if such an exalted devotee becomes the object of our meditation, becomes the object of our contemplation, then his qualities are imbibed by us also. Also, because he is a pure devotee of the Lord, when we hear about him, the Lord within the heart, appreciates our eagerness to hear about him, and the Lord cleanses our heart and arises bhakti within our consciousness. So this is the whole principle of Vedic entertainment in the Vedic culture. In the Vedic culture, the whole life of the society, the whole life of the all the varnas and ashramas, it is always centered around the scriptures. It's always centered around study of Mahabharata, it's always centered around study of Ramayana, study of Bhagavatam, Puranas, and such holy scriptures, where the pastimes of these great devotees are discussed, where the pastimes of these great devotees are described. In the evening times, when people would return from their household duties of the day, like agriculture or whatever, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, their respective duties, evening times we used to find in the Vedic culture, they would assemble
and they would have discussions on Ramayana, Mahabharata and such kind of things. So again and again they would be meditating on these pastimes of our holy scriptures. So what happens by repeatedly remembering these characters, these exalted characters? For example, if regularly we are reading Ramayana, the people in the society would automatically get a message that, oh, this personality Ravana, he became lusty in order to enjoy another man's wife and he got destroyed. He wanted to take the property of God without the permission of God and he got destroyed. So naturally people would get a lesson that I should not become like Ravana. And just see this Hanuman, he went forward in order to serve Lord Ram and he became glorious and he became victorious. So very subconsciously, very innately these messages used to be, imbibed within the lives of the people in the Vedic culture that I should follow in the footsteps of Hanuman and I should not follow in the footsteps of Ravana by reading Ramayana. Same way, if regularly people are discussing about the Mahabharata, naturally they understand that this Duryodhana became greedy for kingdom. This Duryodhana became greedy for another man's property which he is not entitled for. And he illegally, unethically wanted to usurp the kingdom and he got destroyed and he got finished by the Lord. So naturally people get a very subconscious lesson, oh, that means this is wrong, I should not follow in that footstep, I should not. The mentality within me which wants to unethically take others' property, I should give it up, I should stay away from it. This kind of message people will easily catch it. And the Pandavas, they always remained faithful to Krishna, Krishna's service, and whatever Krishna told them, that is what they followed. Whatever Rekha Krishna drew for them, they never crossed it. Whatever instruction Krishna gave them, they followed it. Even though they were exploited, even though they were mistreated, even though they were given very harsh treatment by the Kauravas, Duryodhana and others, but the Pandavas always remained faithful to Krishna's instructions. Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. So, and the Pandavas attained victory. So naturally people will get a lesson. By following the footsteps of the Pandavas, I will attain victory in life. Real success in life is to follow in the footsteps of the Pandavas and not to become like Kauravas. So this is the whole, this is the foundation of the Vedic culture, where people had these basic values, where people had this foundational understanding that the message of the scriptures should be followed. And hence the society was all oriented towards dharma. Society was oriented towards following Krishna consciousness and following in the footsteps of the scriptures, the message of the scriptures. On the contrary, the modern entertainment is very, very risky, is very, very dangerous. Because instead of absorbing one's mind on Ramayana and Mahabharata, nowadays, if we see the type of entertainment which people are doing, it is centered around increasing one's atheistic mentality or increasing one's demoniac mentality. In the name of entertainment nowadays, access to adharma is increasing. Like, nowadays all the movies, they are all centered around selfish enjoyment, sense gratification. They are all centered around how should you be the enjoyer even at the cost of exploitation of others. And such a person is portrayed as the hero. Such a person is highlighted, such a person is glorified as the hero. And this is what again and again the common man is absorbing. This is the message which again and again the common man is exposed to. And hence their mind also is oriented in the direction. Oh, if I have to become a hero, if I have to become a success, if I have to become successful in my life, that means I have to exploit others. I have to do my sense gratification at any cost, even if others suffer. So nowadays, the smartphones and all, they allow a lot of games in which violence is very prominent, right? Like fighting and killing and like mafia and all this kind of things, even right from childhood people are exposed to.
So this is the absorption with which a person is growing right from childhood in the current times. Because this is the absorption that I have to enjoy, I have to do violence if I have to be successful, I have to be greedy if I have to be successful. Because this is the orientation which, this is the absorption which everybody is growing with. Eventually we find people are landing up there. Eventually we find people are committing violent activities, people are doing criminal activities, and the whole society, the orientation of the whole society is going towards demoniac nature, because that is how the mind is, that is how constantly the impressions of the mind are being bombarded upon them. So that is why the phalashruti of these pastimes is, by hearing about these pastimes, by hearing about such pastimes of great devotees, exalted devotees, the pure devotees, our absorption can be withdrawn from such a demoniac areas, and we can put our mind absorbed in these personalities. Then we will develop a devotional attitude. Then we can develop a devotional inclination. We can develop an inclination to surrender to the Lord. We can develop an inclination to depend upon the Lord. We can develop an inclination to turn to the Lord in times of difficulties. So such kind of great messages are learnt by the practitioner, by the reader and the hearer of these pastimes. So that is the benefit of reciting or even thinking of these narrations, and one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. And in the purport, it is mentioned about eagerness. Prabhupada quotes Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, where he says the example of a man who is very, very greedy for wealth. When a man is very greedy for wealth, whatever he has, he is never satisfied with it. How much ever he has, he is never content with it. He always wants to increase his property, increase his wealth. Once one of the devotees of ISKCON, senior devotee, he went to a company to give a seminar. And very top managers of the level of CEO, many CEOs and the very top managing directors, they all assembled there. And this devotee asked all of them, he gave them a paper and pen. And he told them, you please write down, because all of you are surely working very hard in order to achieve wealth, in order to get money. How much money you think you should get, attaining which you will become satisfied. Attaining that much, you will become very happy. And you say that, as Prabhupada said, kuch ichcha nahi. How much you should get in your life that will bring you such a state that you will be completely satisfied with it. And all of them, they had blank faces. They just couldn't put a figure on the paper to say that if I attain this, I will be happy. So a greedy man, a person who wants money, how much ever he gets, he won't be satisfied with that. So this is told by Srila Rupa Goswami in Padyavali. Vicheyani vicharyani vichintyani punah punaha kripanasya dhanva dhananiva tannamani bhavantunaha. Vicheyani, even after collecting money, vicharyani, even after counting money repeatedly, vichintyani, even after remembering money, punaha punaha, kripanasya dhanani iva. Just like a person who is a kripana, who is a miserly person, or a person who is very eager to accumulate wealth. Kripanasya dhanani iva. Just like a kripana, even after collecting money, even after counting money, even after remembering money repeatedly, he always wants more and more of it. He never has a saturation limit for it. He never has upper limit where he says that, okay, after this I'll be satisfied. In the same way, Srila Rupa Goswami is saying, my dear Lord, tan namani bhavantu naha, that may I count your holy names. May I collect more of your holy names, may I count your holy names, and may I remember more of your holy names. And I don't, when will I come to a state where I will never be satisfied with it? I want to become like a Kripana who is counting your names more and more. So, the principle that Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, one of the principles here is that actually either one is a very poor person, or even one is a millionaire or a multi-millionaire, he is never satisfied with the amount of wealth he has. He is never satisfied with the amount of accumulation of properties he does. He always wants something more. So, in the same way, Prabhupada mentions here, the devotee is never satisfied thinking, this is the limit of my devotional service. So, devotional service is also never saturated. He is also never satiated that, okay, you know, an advanced devotee, a devotee in the course of his advancement, he never comes to a state where he feels that, oh, I have done enough bhakti now. It's sufficient. I have chanted enough rounds now. I have rendered enough service now. I have done enough devotion service. A devotee, if he is actually advancing in the right direction, with the right attitude, he will never ever think like this. He will never ever think that I am now, it is enough for me. It is never his conclusion. In fact, if a devotee is really advancing, the conclusion that he will come to is that I have not done anything. I have not really done anything for Krishna. I have not really offered my body and my body, mind and words. I am really not offering to Krishna. The more one is progressing in Krishna consciousness, the more a feeling that I have to do more will come, or it has to come. If the feeling that I have to do more is coming, I have to chant more, I have to render more service, I have to study more Bhagavatam, I have to surrender more. If this feeling is coming in the life of a sadhaka, that means he is in the right direction. He is in the right orientation. His attitude is right. So, so this is perfectly exemplified by Maharaj Ambarish. How Maharaj Ambarish exemplified this? Because these shlokas are there, no? That Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayor. These are the shlokas describing about Maharaj Ambarish devotional service even when he is in his household life. Even when he is performing his duties as a king, this is how he offered his body, mind and words completely in Krishna service. Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayor Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane and so on so forth. It goes on and on saying how each and every one of his senses he thoroughly engaged in Krishna service. Now, having done this, Maharaj Ambarish never thought, okay, you know, even as a king, I am doing enough devotion service, so I can remain satisfied here. No. So that is explained by Prabhupada in the purport here. Maharaj Ambarish was self-satisfied because all of his senses were engaged in devotion service. Nonetheless, although Maharaj Ambarish had engaged all his senses in devotional service, he left his home and went to the forest to concentrate his mind fully at the lotus feet of Krishna, exactly as a mercantile man, even though complete in wealth, tries to earn more and more. Somebody may ask a question, if Maharaj Ambarish is already very exalted as a king, what is the need for him to renounce his kingdom and go to the forest? What is the requirement? He is already very well situated in his spiritual life. So the answer is given, that a devotee never thinks that I am now doing it sufficiently. A devotee never thinks that my bhakti is going on very nicely and this much is enough, this much is sufficient. A devotee never ever thinks like that. So Maharaj Ambarish also thought in a similar way, even though, you know, he is doing all his devotional activities very properly, very exemplary way, in a very, very intense manner, but he thought, still this is not enough. Still this is not sufficient. I have to, increase the knob. I have to intensify my bhakti knob further. Then he felt, I will give away my kingdom to my successor, and I will go to the forest for further intensifying my devotion service. Like this, Maharaj Ambarish thought, and he left the kingdom and went to the forest for further advancement in devotional service. So, and this kind of increment in bhakti
this kind of increase of one's bhakti we can find in many exalted devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam. So yesterday we celebrated the disappearance day of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who is one of our very very great acharyas, one of the six Goswamis. So Srila Raghunath Das Goswami also exemplified this, that in his surrender to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he always felt that I have to do more to Lord Chaitanya. So it's explained in the life of Raghunath Das Goswami, that after he left his family, he ran away from, yesterday we heard from His Grace Atul Krishna Prabhu about how Raghunath Das escaped from his family duties and in order to surrender to Lord Chaitanya. So after he arrived at Jagannath Puri, initially what he was doing, he was receiving some kind of wealth from his father, some kind of wealth, some kind of money, some kind of coins he was receiving from his father, and with that he was feeding all the Vaishnavas, and he was also maintaining himself with the wealth which he is receiving from his father, and he is not misusing that wealth. He is not misutilizing that wealth. He is using it purely in Krishna service only. He would call Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all associates of the Lord and all the Vaishnavas, and he would profusely feed them. But Raghunath Das Goswami felt this is not proper. Because he felt, I am receiving money of my father, and that is coming through his worldly activities. So there is an element of contamination involved in that. So he said that I should not accept the wealth of my family. So he gave it up, and he wanted to practice a higher degree of renunciation. So then what he did, he stopped accepting any wealth from his family, and he went to the Simhadwar of Jagannath Mandir, and there he would stand and beg. So he has increased his degree of renunciation. But even after begging, he was begging for some time, but even after begging, he felt that, is this good? He felt that even in this there is some deficiency, because there is a mentality of evaluating people, that he will give me and he will not give me. Okay, he is a rich person coming, so he may give me more donation, or he may give me more wealth. And this person is a normal person, is a mediocre person or a poor person, what will he give me? So Bhed Bhavana is coming when he is standing in the Simhadwar and he is begging there. So he felt even this is not proper, even this also is not good, because that is the mentality of a prostitute. So he said, I don't even want to stay at this platform also. So as he was increasing his renunciation further and further, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was wondering, what happened to Raghunath? He is not calling us now, and he is not inviting us. Then through Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that Raghunath Das Goswami is now begging at the Simhadwar, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated him for his increased renunciation. So even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is happy with his renunciation, Raghunath Das Goswami is always finding ways and means in order to go higher in his surrender to Lord Chaitanya. So then he left that activity of begging at Simhadwar also, and he would go to places where they would do free distribution of prasad. He would go to the places where for all the visitors, for all the devotees of Jagannath Puri, prasadam would be freely distributed. He would go there and accept prasadam from there. So there is no discrimination. He is not evaluating anybody. He is not seeing who will give me and who will not give me. Still he felt even in this there is an element of sense gratification involved. So he increased even from that level also. And what he did, he would in Jagannath Puri, the prasadam of Ananda Bazar, after all the people take it, some things are remaining. So all of those things are disposed at one place in some area, and that would be taken by the Tailanga cows, and some of the prasadam remnants, they become very very spoiled after many days, that even the cows would not accept them, even the cows would hesitate to take them.
And what Raghunath Das Goswami did, he would take rice from those places and he would repeatedly wash that rice with water, and inside the hard portion of that rice, that he would put some salt and take. So we find in case of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he was always trying to increase his devotion service higher and higher, not being satisfied with some level of devotion service. Whatever level he was always endeavoring to go one step ahead. He was always endeavoring to go one step further. So finally, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood this, heard this from Swarup Damodar Goswami, that this is what Raghunath Das Goswami is eating, he felt very, very happy. As it is said, no, that Vairagya Pradhan, that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, you know, they are very advanced in Vairagya. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that Raghunath Das Goswami is exemplifying this principle. So one day when Raghunath Das Goswami was eating such, you know, left out even of the cows, so Lord Chaitanya went from behind and he appreciated Raghunath Das Goswami, saying that, "What nectar are you relishing? This is such a nectar which you have, you know, that how is it that you are not sharing your nectar with any of us?" So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is tasting the nectar of devotion, the nectar of surrender, the nectar of, you know, pure devotional dedication of Raghunath Das Goswami while tasting those grain particles from the hands of Raghunath Das Goswami. So in the same manner, we find in Srimad Bhagavatam examples of devotees who always endeavor to increase their devotional service. So we will take three examples now. First one is of in the fifth canto, the example of Maharaj Rishabhdev is explained. Rishabhdev is an incarnation of the Lord himself personally. So can he ever be deviated from devotional service? So he came to set an example to the whole world, mainly of the principles of renunciation. He came to set that example. And in the fifth canto it is explained, in the beginning, this is 5.7.7, that Rishabhdev, he was able to use all the mystic powers with him. He has the capacity to exhibit all the mystic powers. But Shukadeva Goswami explains that Rishabhdev felt that he should not use the mystic powers. He should not meddle with the mystic powers. So immediately Parikshit Maharaj gets a question, "Oh Shukadeva Goswami, how is it? Because Rishabhdev is completely beyond the modes. Rishabhdev, no, is the Lord himself. So what is the problem? What is the danger for Rishabhdev in using the mystic powers? He can as well use the mystic powers, and probably he can attract, you know, many, many people to surrender to him. But Rishabhdev, instead of engaging the mystic powers, he kept distance from them and behaved like an avadhuta." So Parikshit Maharaj gets a question, "How is it that Rishabhdev has done like this?" So there Shukadeva Goswami explains that a devotee always wants to be, of course, you know, Rishabhdev wants to set an example for the common man. Rishabhdev wants to set an example that a devotee should never get distracted by these things. Because the mind of a sadhaka is like an animal which is kept under captivity, and it can pounce back upon the hunter at any time. At the least expected moment, the mind can attack back on a sadhaka and it can capture him, and he can fall down. So in order to set an example of a higher level of devotional service, Rishabhdev renounced all the mystic powers and he did not entertain all the mystic powers. So, and following his line, his descendant Bharat Maharaj also followed in the same footsteps. Rishabhdev always tried to increase his devotional service from one level to the next level. And of course, that is not because of his practice, but that is to set an example, because he is already on a Shuddha Sattva platform. And in case of his descendant Bharat Maharaj also, it is told, Yo dustyajan darasutan suhrud rajam hridisprishaha jahau yuvaiva malavad uttamashloka lalasaha. This is 5.14.43. This is about Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj also, when he is performing his activities as a king, he is also a devotee. If you see one verse before this, In this series it is mentioned that he has already attained a pure devotional service to the Lord. Who? Bharat Maharaj. Even when he was performing his kingly duties. But we find Bharat Maharaj renounced all his kingship, renounced all his kingdom, all his duties as a ruler. He handed it over to his successor, and he went to the forest in order to intensify his devotional service, in order to increase his devotional service. He went to the Pulaha Ashrama and he started devotional practices there. However, unfortunately, in the course of time, because of slight negligence and due to lack of proper association, Bharat Maharaj got distracted. Bharat Maharaj got deviated, and instead of focusing on devotional service, he got attracted to the deer. And thinking about the deer, he left the body. So in the beginning of the discussion, we saw how, depending on absorption, eventually you get a particular body. So example one example for that is Bharat Maharaj also. Because he was constantly absorbed in the thoughts of the deer, eventually he got the body of the deer. However, now he realized, alas, alas, no, my golden opportunity which I had in the past life in order to become a pure devotee, I just missed it. In a very narrow, in a narrow margin I missed. I could have made it. But with a very, slight negligence, I lost the chance. So now he decided, now I am not going to take a chance. Now I am not going to risk this opportunity. Even though, he got the body of a deer now, he was very, very alert. He was very, very careful to not, allow his senses to get distracted. So much so that even as a deer, he was not eating green grass. Even as a deer, he was eating just, dry grass and leading a very, very detached life so that his absorption in devotional service will not be distracted. And subsequently, when he came as Bharat, Jada Bharat, he behaved like a Jada Vyakti, like a very madman purposefully, so that people will not unnecessarily take him here and there, people will not unnecessarily bother him, so that his fixity on devotional service can be maintained. So Bharat Maharaj also exemplified this, that he always endeavor to advance further in devotional service. He always endeavor to progress further and further in devotional service without becoming stagnated. And another example from Srimad Bhagavatam for this principle is this is from third canto, second chapter, third shloka. This is about Uddhava.
Can you open this?
3.2.3. Sa khatam seva yatasya kalena jara sangataha prushto vartam pratibhruyat bartuh padavanusmaran. So this is explained about Uddhava. Translation. Uddhava thus served the Lord continually from childhood, and in his old age that attitude of service never slackened. As soon as he was asked about the message of the Lord, he at once remembered all about him. So it is explained about Uddhava. Right from his childhood, Uddhava had a very great attraction for Krishna. Uddhava had a very great attachment to Krishna, and he was constantly absorbed in devotional service to Krishna. So much so that when he was playing as a small boy, his mother would invite him for breakfast. But he was playing with the Krishna dolls with such absorption that he would not even go for breakfast. Because in general, to miss prasadam, is not very easy unless the other alternative is very attractive. Unless the other option is very, very alluring, one will not miss prasadam, generally speaking. But it is explained about Uddhava. He had so much of attachment to Krishna that he even forgot about eating also. Even forgot about honoring prasadam also. So Uddhava began his Krishna consciousness like this. And as he progressed in his life, generally if you see material activities also, they also increase. The enthusiasm in material activities also increase to a certain extent. But after a certain time, the enthusiasm in the material activities reduce. It will come down because material activities are monotonous, boring, and the charm in the material activities is lost. In case of Uddhava's devotional service, it was increasing and increasing and increasing, but it never came down. It went on increasing. It increased till he went back to Godhead. So that is explained in the purport. Transcendental service to the Lord is not mundane. The service attitude of the devotee gradually increases and never becomes slackened. Generally in old age, a person is allowed retirement from mundane service. Right? We find that after a certain age, in every company or in every institution, retirement is awarded. Why? Because people don't have the capacity to do the work further, nor are they interested to do the work further. So they retire some people. I mean, everybody has to take retirement. So this is generally observed in mundane activities. This is generally observed in materialistic activities. And after a certain time, then full stop. But in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is no retirement at all. On the contrary, the service attitude increases more and more with the progress of age. And this is prominently visible in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was endeavoring to preach, you know, right from the days when he met his spiritual master and got instructions. He understood the importance and the potential of Krishna consciousness, and he wanted to spread it far and wide. And as years were passing by, we find obstacles were coming again and again, but Prabhupada's enthusiasm to preach never slackened. Prabhupada's enthusiasm to preach and his determination and the vigor to go on, it never reduced, even with old age. In the transcendental service, there is no satiation, and therefore there is no retirement. See, when there is retirement, when there is satiation, when a person thinks, oh, I have done enough, it is sufficient now, you know, bahut ho gaya, then there is retirement. But in devotional service, such kind of feeling only doesn't come, as we saw some time back, that in Krishna consciousness, as one is advancing, one thinks that I have to do more. One thinks that I have to chant more, I have to serve more. Because of this feeling, there is no satiation. And because there is no satiation in devotional service, there is no retirement also. Materially, when a man becomes tired by rendering service in his physical body, he is allowed retirement. But in the transcendental service, there is no feeling of fatigue because it is spiritual service and it is not on the bodily plane. Service on the bodily plane dwindles as the body grows older. But the spirit is never old, and therefore on the spiritual plane, the service is never tiresome. Of course, the body may get tired sometimes, you know, in the course of service, but the attitude of service is never slackened. The desire to serve and the enthusiasm to serve, that never comes down for a devotee. Because of bodily limitations, probably yes, there can be some exhaustion. A devotee may take some measures to recuperate his body and serve again. But as far as the attitude of service is concerned, as far as the desire to serve is concerned, that is never reduced. Uddhava undoubtedly became old, but that does not mean that his spirit became old. His service attitude matured on the transcendental plane, and therefore, as soon as he was questioned by Vidura about Lord Krishna, he at once remembered his Lord by reference to the context and forgot himself on the physical plane. This is a sign of pure devotional service to the Lord, as will be explained later on, Lakshanam Bhakti Yogasya, in Lord Kapila's instructions. So, in the case of Uddhava, also we see the same principle, that even with the progress of time, his devotional service, his intensity in devotional service never slackened. It was constantly increasing and increasing and increasing. And this is the principle based on which Maharaj Ambarish also, you know, left his you know, kingdom. He felt that I should increase my devotional service more. So he took off from his kingly duties. He gave it to his successors and went to the forest in order to intensify his devotional service. So in this way, we find in Srimad Bhagavatam many examples of devotees never satisfied at one level, but wanting to go ahead and ahead in Krishna consciousness. Actually, you know, till a devotee reaches back to Godhead, he always thinks that, you know, I should never become relaxed. I should always be alert. I should always be focused. But even after going back to Godhead, it's not that a devotee thinks, thank God, now finally I have reached. Now I can relax. No, there also
the service of the devotee continues, you know, wherever he is. If he goes to spiritual world, if not, he comes back to the, if he comes back, his service to the Lord continues life after life. So, and Prabhupada concludes the purport by differentiating between material service and spiritual service. Karma on the material platform entangles a person, you know, whereas the spiritual service that liberates a person more and more. So I shall stop here. I'll summarize whatever we discussed today. Today we began by discussing on absorption. How by discussing on these pastimes, like Ambarish Maharaj and all the pure devotees and the Lord, given in Bhagavatam and all our scriptures, by that absorption, that is the form which we will eventually get. Like for example, if somebody is absorbed in swimming for, repeatedly he is thinking of swimming, next life he will become a fish. But if somebody is constantly thinking of the Lord, you know, the pure Sachidananda form of the Lord, in the next life he will get the same form. If somebody is thinking of the four-handed form of the Lord, then he will get that same form in Vaikuntha. So, we began our discussion with absorption, and then in the purport Prabhupada mentions about spiritual eagerness, how, you know, just like a greedy man is never satisfied with whatever wealth he has, he always wants to have more and more. In the same way, a devotee also is never satisfied with his devotional service. He always wants to advance further in devotional service. And we saw the examples of Rishabhdev, Bharat Maharaj, Raghunath Das Goswami and Uddhava. So, I thank you all for your patient hearing. Please forgive me if I have spoken anything improper. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.